He started with $100,000 in his wallet, investing in cryptocurrency, and his balance is over $1 million right now. So all of that is tax-free. I'm not advocating for crypto. Personally, you know, I'm not really fan of that because I think it's more of a speculation than investment. But it's probably okay to diversify into that as well. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, if there is an opportunity for you to grow your investment quickly, Roth is a great option to do that. You pay, you know, again, you got to ask yourself, would you rather pay taxes on the seed or on the harvest?
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm excited to introduce our guest for the day, Dmitry Fomichenko. Dmitry, thank you so much for being here.
Suja, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on your show.
Yeah, very excited to get into your expertise and your experience in real estate investing. So everyone, Dmitry is the founder and president of Sense Financial, a boutique financial firm specializing in self-directed retirement accounts with checkbook control. He has a special focus in solo 401ks, which I'm excited to get into the details of. And he began his career in financial planning and real estate investing in 2000. He owns interests in several large multifamily properties in various states. He's a private lender, and he's also a licensed California real estate broker. Over the years, he's taught hundreds of investment and financial planning seminars and has mentored thousands of investors. Well, today he gets to mentor us. Awesome. So Dmitry, why don't you start us out by telling us what drew you into the real estate space, why you got into it, and how?
As your listeners can hear probably from my accent, I'm not native here. I was actually born and raised in Russia. I immigrated here in this beautiful country, the best country on the planet, back when I was 22 years old, and I didn't speak any English. I didn't have any money. So I started attending just a college first to get some ESL classes, and then my background is in electromechanical engineering, so I was taking some of the classes in that field. I met someone who introduced me invited me to a local real estate investors meeting. So that's how I got introduced to the real estate investing. It took a couple of years attending and learning for me before I purchased my first property, which was my residence back in 2000.
Really quick, what was intriguing about the real estate meetup when your friend brought you?
Well, it just the idea of becoming creating a passive income from investments. So again, 2001 was the first purchase. 2002 was my second purchase, and those two actually did I did very well. The timing was good. They both almost tripled in value in just a few years, and then I was able to use the equity to leverage into buying more properties. Market changed. I ended up actually hurting myself. But it was a great experience, learning experience. So I have to kind of get restarted from scratch, but with the experience now. And so I'm at the point where I was able to achieve financial independence. I don't have to work. I have investments that provide for me. I have a business that provides for my family. But I'm just excited and driven to learn or to teach other people about financial independence, investing, sharing my experience. And so that's what I'm at.
For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. And congratulations. You know, I mean, not everybody in this space has reached that level, and it's important. And So did you like leave a career at some point in, you know, your field of study?
Yeah. So I was working, I ended up working in my, I translated my degree, which was equivalent to BS in electromechanical engineering, and started working in the field. But in the early 2000s, there was economic changes. I got laid off. That forced me into looking for something else. I ended up in financial services, and then I ended up working full-time in real estate with a local real estate investment company. And there, that's where I learned about self-directed retirement accounts. We worked with several companies at the time. None of them really worked out long-term because they weren't able to provide the quality of services we were looking for our clients. So I was asked to start a department within the company. And then about a year later, I decided to go out on my own. And that's the rest is history, as they say.
Awesome. Well, I really want to get into the solo 401k, but because I know so many people will be curious, perhaps you could start us off by telling us a little bit about your passive income portfolio and just how you actually built it up, you know, brick by brick to get to a financially independent place.
Well, you do it one step at a time. That's how you eat an elephant, and you know, how do you achieve financial independence one step at a time. You know, it's great if you can get a mentor, you know, formally or informally. But because I did not have a mentor specifically, I made a number of mistakes that set me back. But then it was a great learning experience, which I learned from. And I just was able to, continue. I didn't give up. Many people could have just say, hey, screw real estate, you know, and not do it again. But I persevered. And that's actually one of the keys in being successful, whether it's a real estate investing business or anything else. You have to persevere because not all the time, things going to go smooth. So that's my testimony, is that I persevered and I continued to invest. And then I started a business, which I was able to increase my income and continue to invest. I kept my lifestyle the same. I continue to be frugal and just invest pretty much every dollar I had spared, and continue to invest and reinvest and reinvest. And right now I have a portfolio of private loans and a number of multifamily syndications that provide the, you know, I was able to replace my income. That's basically where I'm at now.
Okay, for sure. That's awesome. So when you say one step at a time, would you say that was, and so many good lessons there, you know, perseverance and learning from mistakes and then taking one step at a time. So for you was, I know you did a bunch of different things, but let's just, if we could try to just like give the listeners a picture. So you started with single family. And so each of those was one stream of passive income, correct?
Yeah, I started with the single family. And at the time, my goal or, you know, my focus was on the appreciation, which, you know, for me at the time was a mistake. I mean, you have to have a balance. That's why I ended up losing a number of properties because they did not appreciate. The market changed. The rent came down and I couldn't hold down on those properties. But there is a difference between real estate investing and speculation. You need to understand that. And if you're just betting on the appreciation, well, you're more of a speculator. That's what I did. That was one of the mistakes that I made and lessons I learned. So I no longer speculate. I invest. And all of my investments, they do produce passive income. And you just build it. I build it from there. I speculate a little bit, just a bit. Just a bit, because I can afford to lose some. But for the most part, I invest, and all of my investments, they produce income.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that a lot of people start out thinking that even when oftentimes when people are buying like their single family house, their home residence, it's considered their greatest investment, their biggest investment. That's the general kind of knowledge that we're taught. And that's basically banking on appreciation, which we can't always count on, right? So, and now just like, I just want to circle back on something that I think is also relevant, which is when you talk about taking step-by-step and building passive income, is it, I mean, obviously it's going to vary per property, but if you were to say like, how much per door that you were looking for after expenses, just to give the listeners an idea of what it looks like to actually build a passive income portfolio?
Well, like I mentioned, I started with single family homes, but when I started my business, being a real estate investor takes time. And even if you don't manage properties personally, you do need to manage your property managers. And I didn't want to deal with that. That's why I transitioned into truly passive income, passive portfolio. And what I mean by that is being a lender, where I use my money to lend to other people. So essentially, I use that, mainly I use my retirement funds for that. So with my retirement funds, I invest in trust deeds and do mortgages. They produce income, and all of that income is being sheltered from taxes or tax-free, because I do some of it inside of a Roth. And then personally, I do a little bit of lending, but I primarily invest in real estate syndications, because they also produce income. And with syndications, you can expect, you know, 7 to 8% annually. And then on the back end, once the property is sold, it can be anywhere between 15 to 20%. In fact, I just received an email yesterday on one of my investments that I did about 2 years ago. The property was sold, and I basically doubled my money. So it was, you know, more than 15 or 20%. In 2 years, I doubled my money. So it was like 50% return, pretty much. And then with my private lending, I get, I'd say, an average 10% return on my money. So again, it's a little bit different strategy than single family and what income you get per door, which is, again, that can work great for some people. I know many of my clients they have portfolio of rental properties, and it works great. For me, it's a little bit different focus. I do, again, private lending and investing in syndications.
For sure. Yeah. And I want you all to listen to think about what Dimitri just said, because like many people, he started out as an active investor, buying and managing his own properties, and then sounds like eventually transitioned to purely passive investments, where he was doing private lending and then also doing syndications. And that's a trajectory that a lot of people take. It's important to try both active and passive, in my opinion, just so that you know what goes into active investing. And then you can compare it to the experience of passive investing. So awesome. Okay, well, so now let's dive into the fun stuff of retirement accounts, because I know that's a huge passion of yours, teaching people how to use. Should we start with solo 401ks? Where should we start?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so why don't you just give us the basics? I don't think we've had someone talk about solo 401ks yet.
Yeah, well, let me explain you first what that is. A solo 401k, just like the name implies, solo, is designed for those people who are either self-employed or own a small business where there is no other employees, non-owner employees. So it's typically a business owner, perhaps there is a partner, or perhaps a spouse is also involved in the business. So typically it's a one or two person plan. So when you own a business like that and you don't have non-owner employees, then the rules are, or compliance rules, I should say, they're a lot simpler, and there's a lot less work you need to do. So they're easy to maintain, easy to administer. So that's what the solo 401k is. And you can go to just a brokerage such as Fidelity, and you can set up a solo 401k, which will give you some of the benefits, but not all. So what we specialize in is creating a truly self-directed solo 401k. And what I mean by that is that this plan is pretty much an open architecture plan. It's truly self-directed plan where you are the trustee and the administrator of your plan, and you have full control over the plan assets and the investments that you make. And you don't have a third-party custodian like Fidelity or Schwab limit your investment choices. So you can use your retirement funds to do alternative investments. You can invest in trust deeds. You can do mortgages. You can buy single-family rentals. You can invest in multifamily syndications, and you can invest in things like precious metals or even cryptocurrency. So that's what it is. There are a number of other benefits we can dive in, but that's just a quick overview of what the solo 401k is.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing opportunity for for solopreneurs, self-employed people, or people who have their own business. And can you just distinguish between, I guess, why a business owner would prefer a solo 401k over a self-directed IRA? This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Self-directed solo 401k has a number of advantages over an IRA. So let me see if I can list just a few for you. Number one, it's known as a tax shelter. So it's an amazing tax shelter. Currently, you can contribute to an IRA $6,000. Plus $1,000 catch up if you're over 50. So, and then with the solo 401k, the limit is $58,000 plus $6,500 catch up if you're over 50. So it's nearly 10 times more than an IRA. So nearly 60 grand you can contribute, you can shelter from taxes. I mean, if you're in business and if you're doing well, the problem that you're facing is the taxes. You know, the more income you make, the more taxes you pay. So, but if you are a, you know, husband and wife team working together in the business, and if you can shelter combine together over $100,000 of your income from taxes into a solo 401k, just think about the bottom line, how much taxes that's going to save you. So number one, it's immediately going to drop you into a lower tax bracket. So you're going to be paying in a lower tax bracket and possibly $100,000 less. So the savings can be huge, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year potentially. So again, very significant tax shelter. So that's number one. Number two, with an IRA, you have a custodian or, you know, quote unquote, a middleman. Custodian, you must have a custodian with an IRA. So custodian holds the funds and all the assets, and you have to go through the custodian for each transaction. With solo 401k, custodian is not required. So rather than using a custodian, we're creating a 401k plan plus trust. The trust is used as a vehicle to hold the plan assets. So instead of using like a third-party trust company, like Equity Trust, for example, there is a trust set up for your individual solo 401k. You're the trustee of that trust. Trust has its own tax ID number. As a trustee, you can open a business checking account at the bank of your choice. You can open a brokerage account. You can open an exchange account to buy cryptocurrency. And so there is no middleman. You have direct control over the investments. So that means that you eliminate all the red tape, you eliminate all the delays, and you eliminate all the fees that come with the custodian. So that's another advantage. Let me just give you a couple more. With the solo 401k, you have the ability to take a participant loan. Just like with the 401k, if you're employed and you have a 401k with your employer, your employer most likely offers a loan feature. So you can borrow up to $50,000 or 50% of the balance, whichever is less. So it's just a great way to tap into your retirement funds if you ever need it. You know, this is not something to abuse. You don't want to abuse that because that's your retirement money and you have to pay it back. But it's a nice... Essentially, it's like creating your own bank, that you are the banker and you're the applicant. So you applying for the loan and you're approving the loan. You can always tap into that. So it's a great resource to have. Another one is ability to make after-tax contributions into a Roth sub-account. So our plan documents allow you to make contributions after taxes. So you pay the taxes, you contribute into Roth account, Roth 401k account, and those investments can be made tax-free for the rest of your life. So that's pretty amazing too.
Is there a limit on that?
There is a limit on the RAD contributions. So it's 19,500 plus 6,500 catch up for those over 50. So a total of 26,000. But you can also do the conversion. You can convert existing pre-tax money into RAD. So you can pay the taxes now and never pay them again. Any future gains. Here is an example. Not that everyone should do that, but just an example. I have a client for about 6 years, I think, and he started with $100,000 in his RAD, investing in cryptocurrency, and his balance is over $1 million right now. So all of that is tax-free. I'm not advocating for crypto. Personally, you know, I'm not really fan of that because I think it's more of a speculation than investment. But it's probably okay to diversify into that as well. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, if there is an opportunity for you to grow your investment quickly, RAD is a great option to do that. You pay, you know, again, you got to ask yourself, would you rather pay taxes on the seed or on the harvest? Especially if you expect a lot of harvest.
Yeah, thanks for breaking all that down. There are so many benefits. And I hope you all took note that if you are in business for yourself or self-employed, that a solo 401k can really help you shelter that income and invest in real estate, for example. So let's move to that. So how do you invest in real estate syndications with the solo 401k?
Again, when a 401k is created, the trust is created. So there will be a 401k trust of which you are the trustee. That 401k trust is an entity. It is a separate legal entity from you with its own tax ID number. So when you want to invest in something, whether it's a single family rental or a syndication or do a private loan, a 401k trust is the investor, is the lender or landlord, if you will. And if you invest in a syndication, then you will take the title to the investment in the name of the 401k trust. If you're buying a, let's say, single family rental, the title of the trust goes on the deed and gets recorded. So the 401k is the owner of the property. All the one thing important to note is that all of the income from the investment must go back into the 401k, and all of the expenses related to the investment must be paid from the 401k. So if it's syndication, there's really no investments there. But if it is like a single family home, you will have some expenses, a mortgage, the property taxes, insurance, and so forth. And I just thought about something that is worth mentioning. You ask about the differences between an IRA and a 401k. I just thought about one again. There's a number of them, but one that is also important and worth mentioning, especially comparing with an IRA. So when you use a self-directed IRA to buy, let's say, a rental property or invest in a syndication, and if you use leverage, so let's say you buy in a property for 100K, you put 50K down and you get a loan for 50K. You must use non-recourse loan because you're not allowed to provide a personal guarantee. But half of the income, because it's 50% financed, will be subject to what's known as unrelated business income tax because it is produced from unrelated debt finance income. So half of the income will be taxed. And same thing with the syndication. If you're investing in syndication with an IRA, most syndication deals are leveraged. So there will be some implications, that tax implications that your IRA will owe. When you do that with a 401k, 401k is exempt from UBIT on leveraged real estate. So there won't be any taxes on any income inside of a solo 401k if you invest in leveraged real estate, whether it's single family or multifamily syndication deal.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And so is there a limit on when you can withdraw from the solo 401k?
You can start taking distributions at normal retirement age. The contributions to a RAD 401k, you already pay tax on that. So those technically could be pulled out earlier, okay? And the solo 401k also has RMD requirements. So at age 72, which recently was increased from 70 and a half as a result of a SECURE Act, or less than 2 years ago. So at 72, you must pull the distributions. Now, remember, you may have a RAT 401k account under your solo 401k. So the I guess the solution to that, to avoid the RMD, before reaching that age, you can roll over your RAT 401k account into RAT IRA to avoid RMD.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Very lots of great industry knowledge there. Thank you, Dimitri. Awesome. So I was wondering if you could, I think that was a great overview. Is there anything else on solo 401ks that we should touch on before we circle back to another topic?
Well, let's see. Let me think. I mean, I can talk and talk about this. Anything you want me to clarify, perhaps something, go into maybe a little bit more details based on what I said earlier?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I got all of my questions answered. So I think that's a really good overview. And the main takeaway, okay, I have another question. So when do you have to set it up? So say you want to be able to put money into it in for the 2020 tax year or 2021 tax year. Do you have to set it up before April or do you have to set it up before the end of 2021?
Yeah, that's a good question. So until recently, the deadline to set up was the end of the year. But recently that changed again because of the Secure Act. And you can actually set up the plan up until tax filing deadline. So technically, if your business is a corporation and you haven't done your corporate taxes yet, let's say you filed for an extension, you could set up a plan for 2020 still and get additional tax deduction. So, which is great. That was a major change, and it's a great benefit.
Yeah. So technically, until October, which is pretty cool.
You know, so you'll be limited on the contributions because there is two ways you can contribute. I mentioned the contribution limit of 58,000. Combined, this contribution limit consists of two components. There is a contribution portion that you contribute as an employee of your business. And another one as the business contributes. So the employee portion called elective deferrals. And if you're incorporated and you take wages, that must be done through the payroll. Okay. So in case of a corporation, that will be too late. However, if you're a sole proprietor and you file for an extension, you have until October 15 to set up the plan and make fully funded because there is no payroll, you have to draw salary. So you can still contribute both as an employee and as a business owner into the solo 401k.
Okay. And you can put in their funds that you earned in 2021?
Well, it's going to be based on your 2020 income. I mean, you know, if you spend the money that you earned in 2020 and you have money that you earned in 2021, as long as you have income to show for it, it's going to be based on the income of 2020.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a wonderful plan. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, successful in these high income, but sort of maybe volatile spaces like e-commerce or just plenty of ways that people are making quite a lot of money in their businesses. And so it's so important to know how to take care of the taxes. Okay. Awesome. Well, I think that's all on the solo 401k that I have at the moment. Would you touch on kind of how you feel about passive investing as compared to active investing?
Well, I think that should be everyone's goal to become a passive investor. I'm going to bring back or, you know, mention the book that probably you and many know, or at least heard of, a cash flow quadrant. Remember, Robert Kiyosaki in this book explains that there is four ways to make money legally in the US. And you start as an employee on the top left, and then self-employed on the bottom left, and then you move, perhaps you transition to the right side, being a business owner and then investor. So, and I'm humbled and pleased to report that I'm on the right side of the cash flow quadrant, and I have a system that works for me, and I have investments that work for me. And, you know, what can be better that gives you? I just came back from almost a week long backpacking trip that I was able to take and just be out there in the nature and God's creation and enjoy the beautiful outdoors. And, you know, I didn't have to ask anybody for a time off. My business continued to run and my investment continued to produce passive income. So, you know, that gives you freedom, that gives you flexibility. But you got to start somewhere. I mean, you can't just become a passive investor unless you, you know, maybe inherit some money from somebody. And, you know, in that case, doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. So you got to start somewhere. You got to have a way to generate income. So you got to work for money first. But just be wise with it. And yeah, you should have a goal to be on the right side of the cash flow quadrant.
Yeah, such a good point. You know, the name of this show is called Passive Income Unlocked. And I just always want to make sure people understand that you can't just go get passive income because you want it. You actually have to, like you said, build it step by step, just like you would eat an elephant bite by bite or climb Mount Everest, you know, step by step. And so it has to be built, and it's going to take some time unless you just have a huge windfall. But the goal is so worth it, you know, because once you do build those streams of passive income, then they're so easy to manage once they're truly passive. Yeah, I liked how you described that. Well, thank you so much, Dimitri, for coming on the show. I would love for you to share how listeners can get a hold of you so that if they have any interest in a solo 401k, they can reach out with questions and anything else you'd like to share.
Well, they can go to our website, which is sensefinancial.com, and sense is like a common sense. sensefinancial.com. They can find me on Facebook. They can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm pretty active on Bigger Pockets, if you know what that is. So either one of those ways. And if you have some retirement money that you consider to perhaps pulling out of the stock market and investing in something that you have more control of, some alternative investments, I'll be happy to speak with you one-on-one about your particular situation, because it's just simply impossible to go over all the scenarios on this general interview. So we always offer complimentary consultations.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I hope you all reach out to Dimitri. And Dimitri, just to finish this off, will you tell us, you know, when people are taking their retirement funds out of the stock market in these days, you know, where the stock market is growing at a pretty significant pace, why are they choosing to do it now?
Well, you probably heard this buy low and sell high. So, you know,
exactly.
you don't want to get out of the stock market when it's down, you know, and when the stock market is doing great, maybe it's a great time to get out. Again, if you have all of it, I do invest in the market as well, but no more than 10% of my total portfolio. So, you know, I personally don't intend to pull out my 10%. I think long term being in the market, you'll do well. It just the problem is that if you have all of your eggs in one basket, that's the problem. You know, I just spoke with one of my clients yesterday, and maybe it's something, you know, let me just share this without any names or any particulars. But this lady, she's in late 60s and her husband is 73 actually, or RMD. And they've been investing for years. And so they actually ended up at this stage of life, or I guess for the last 10 years, they basically pulled all of their eggs in one basket, and it's been doing well. They've been lending to this company, and that's basically, there was a business model that was working, but it was essentially unsecured loan. And eventually this company, or, you know, the borrowers came out clean and said, hey, you know, we lost your money. And so they lost over $2 million of their savings, both personally and in retirement funds. So it just, and, you know, if you're in stock market or any other investment like that, it can be devastating. So just learn the lesson to diversify, you know, especially like this. I mean, it wasn't very wise to do, in my opinion. Even if it was working for years, you still want to diversify. And just doing unsecured notes like that is just, you know, you definitely don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
So, and that's what the truly self-directed solo 401k will enable you to do, is to have true diversification. Because if you have an IRA and you invest in a market, you're just in a one asset class. You have your eggs in just one basket. You know, if you might be in different stocks, you might be even in a mutual fund, which is diversified in and of itself, but it's only diversified within one asset class. We don't know, you know, Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, said this in Ecclesiastes, divide your portion to seven or even eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on Earth. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, we just, you know, kind of coming out of this, I don't know, you call it a crisis or whatever, you know, took over the whole world, right? You know, the pandemic, and it affected the stock market. It affected many businesses are gone. Many people lost their jobs. I mean, there are so many things that were affected by this. So we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if you're just in one asset class, you're taking a risk. So you want to diversify, and solo 401k allows you to do so.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. And then you described it very well, made a very compelling case for diversifying using solo 401k. So thank you so much, Dimitri, for sharing all of your amazing knowledge and life experience. I'm sure we have a lot more to talk about. So for now, we'll say goodbye. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.